Nice to have our online church also today. Welcome to everybody online. We're going to lean in for a few moments today as I talk to you about the subject of good things. Everyone say good things. What I really want to do over the next few weeks, we've got Shane Willard with us next week, and Shane will be amazing. If you've never heard Shane preach, he is absolutely the Prince of Preachers, and he'll be with us next Sunday. He'll open up the Bible, and you will just go, wow, wow, wow. Well, no doubt about that. So make sure you're here, bring your family, bring your friends, and they'll be tremendously blessed next weekend. But today, and then the following weekend, I want to just hit on this topic of good things, because I want to raise the level of expectancy in our hearts, which I think is really important in this time with what's happening around our world, in the economy and the pinch that everybody's feeling at the moment, to raise our level of faith and expectancy no matter what. Everyone say, no matter what? No matter what. Just to believe God for some good things. Anyone want to believe God for some good things in the middle of all the bad news? I'd rather take the good things any day. Any day of the week, I'd rather take the good things in terms of that. The Bible says this in Matthew chapter 7. I'm going to put up a few verses in a moment, but the precursor for the thoughts that I'm going to read from the screen for you today are these in Matthew 7, verse 7, where it says this: keep on asking. It's talking about how to pray. How to pray. You know, when you pray, you just don't pray once and then set and forget. You just keep coming at it. You keep asking God. You keep persevering. You keep pressing in. That's what God wants to see and hear from us. So he says, keep on asking and you'll be given what you ask for. Keep on looking and you will find. Keep on knocking and the door will be opened. You know, there's something powerful in terms of the payoff for those that are tenacious and persistent and just keep storming heaven's gates for the things that they want to see God do in their lives. God's looking for this kind of posture from us. He says, for everyone who asks, receives. Everyone who seeks, finds. And the door is open to everyone who knocks. Next verse says this, Matthew 7, 9 to 10. Which of you, if your son asks for bread, will give him a stone? If he asks for a fish, will give him a snake? What a cruel thing it would be if your son came to you and asked you for bread and you gave him a stone, or you gave him a snake, or you gave him the exact opposite of what he asked for. My son called me this week. I got a phone call from him while we were away. We were up in Bundaberg. Cheryl and I were in Maryborough this week for the retirement party for my brother, who's the superintendent of the police. And after 31 years, he retired. And we were there for that very, very special occasion. Got a phone call from my son early in the morning. Like only family ring you early in the morning. And he rang me early in the morning. When family ring you early in the morning, it's either good news or it's bad news. Well, his news was that his car had broken down. It's pouring rain. He walked a kilometer and a bit in the rain and run out of fuel. And so he needed some fuel. So he walked here to the church because he knows where to find Dad. Walked here to the church, knocked on the door, got Pastor Darrell. Pastor Darrell let him in, got a little jerry can. But he thought, I need some money, because he didn't have any money on him. Needed some money. So who are you going to call when you're a son and you need some money? Who are you going to call? You're going to call my father. You're going to call your dad. You're going to call your daddy. That's who you're going to call. So he calls me while I'm in Maryborough. I mean, what am I supposed to do? I'm in Maryborough. So he calls me. He says, Dad, I need $20 for some fuel. I'm thinking, hello, you need a lot more than $20 for fuel. So he said, I need $20 for some fuel. So thank God for this day of modern technology. Straight on the phone. What does a good father do? Do I send him a snake? No. Do I send him a rock? Yeah. What do I do? Send him $50. Right there and then, bang, my bank account to his bank account, instantly. Everyone who asks, receives. Don't you go call me now. Everyone who asks, only my sons and daughters, anyone who asks, receives. Anyone who knocks, come on, are you knocking? in the right way? Are you asking today? Are you storming heaven's gates for the things that you're believing for? Because this is the heart of a father. The heart of a father wants to hear the cry of a son and the cry of a daughter saying, Father, help me. Help me. Can you do this? Can you do that? Can you do this? Can you do that? And a good father helps. A good father gets involved. A good father brings answers. The next verse says, if you then, though you are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more? Would you say those three words for me? How much more? How much more will your Father in heaven give good gifts to those who ask him? These few verses are part of a longer conversation that Jesus had with a group of people on a hillside. It's famously known as the Sermon on the Mount. It's the longest recording conversation or sermon that Jesus gave to a group of people as recorded in the Gospels. And Jesus was teaching the kingdom way. Jesus was teaching God's way of doing things. And so he says, if your son asks for bread, you're not going to give him something else. You're not going to give him something ridiculous or something harmful or hurtful. You're going to give him what he asks for. And we as humans, we're intrinsically evil. That's our innate spirit, that it is evil. And yet we who are evil, if we know how to do good, how much more does he who is perfectly good give good gifts to his children? Church, I want to encourage every one of you today, no matter what you're feeling in terms of the pressures around your world and your life today, no matter what's going on today, God has so many good things for you, so much good to do for you, so much good to do through you. And if that is true, then this question needs to be asked. If God is good, then why blank? You fill the blank in. If God is good, if he is this good father in heaven, if he's so much better than us who are evil yet know how to do good, then why? Why is there war in our world? Why is there strife? Why is the world full of natural disasters that hurt so many people? Why do we have to have anxiety, worry, and fear, and sickness, and death, and disease? Why does evil prosper? You can fill in the blank here with any number of tragic things that happen to humanity. And you know, it's so easy to, when you focus on this why question, if God is good, then why is this happening to me? Why is this happening to us? Why is this happening to our family, our community, our world? What happens is it causes real distortion and perversion in terms of your beliefs, your conviction, and your faith. And so we need to be really careful, because what happens for believers, they start to doubt and then they start to drift. Now, it's not wrong to doubt if you're asking questions to learn and to develop understanding and to develop wisdom. But when doubt causes us to drift, there's an issue. There's an issue. And we need to get really good at being aware of when ourselves, but also our friends, are doubting and drifting, so that we can stop the drift, so we can pull them back from the drift. You know, people that are led by emotions or feelings and circumstances, and they're questioning God because of an experience or a circumstance or a situation, and they're asking this question, and a lot of people are asking this question, if God is good, then why? And what happens is we call into question the goodness of God. We call into question the goodness of God. And we hear preachers like me preach this kind of thought from the Bible. And we have people that sit and think, I don't know whether I actually believe that. I don't know whether I actually believe that is in the Bible. Yet Jesus himself sat on a mountain and taught the multitudes the kingdom way and the Father's heart. And he said, anybody, anyone asks anything, whatever they ask, if they keep knocking and they keep asking and they keep searching, they're going to find, it's going to be answered, and it will be given unto you. But what happens today is what we just read in Matthew chapter 7 with that thought, It disappears because of disillusionment, and it disappears because of disappointment. This is actually a good question. Many of us have asked this question ourselves, and if we've not asked it ourselves, we've had it asked of ourselves by other people. Particularly in our modern world, which is so focused on deconstruction of truth, deconstruction of history, deconstruction of facts, particularly in this world so focused on cancel culture, where everything is being called out and everything is being questioned. So if God is good, then why? So here's my question today. If God is good, then why is life hard? If God is good, then why is life hard? Why is life hard for us if God is good? I think it's really important for people of faith not to pretend that life is not hard. Because life is hard. And we need to acknowledge that life is hard. That life is hard for people. You see, denial or a pretense that something does not exist does not actually make something not exist. It just means that we become ignorant of it, or we are pretending like it's not there, but it is actually still there. Many believers stumble on this question, if God is good, then why is life hard? And many find it difficult to answer in terms of when it's asked of them. And what happens, and I've seen this happen many times, is many good believers lose their faith and lose faith personally because they get fixated and hung up on having to answer this question. And that particularly from the point of view that the life is hard part of the conversation. This is a real question to grapple with. It's a real question to seek to get answers for. Because the truth is, we'll all face disappointments in life. We'll all have seasons of disillusionment. We'll all have moments of doubt in our life. We'll have frustration. We'll have anxiety. We'll face challenges, resistance, and trouble because we live in a broken world and we ourselves are part of broken humanity. I think we need to be able to answer this question in light of Matthew 7, in light of the Sermon on the Mount, in light of the conversation that Jesus had about this is the kingdom way. If you being evil know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more does your heavenly Father know how to give good things to those that are his? Here's my truth. The greatest struggles in life are not normally the hardship themselves, but rather the questions that the hardship season creates. The greatest struggles in life are not normally the hardship themselves. We can put up with hardship. We can do hardship. We've all done hardship. Some are doing hardship right now. Hardship is not the issue. It's the questions that come out of the hardship. It's the questions that come out of the struggle. Why me? Why did we have to go through that? Why did we have to experience that in our lives? And so we find ourselves asking this question, if God is good, then why is life hard? This is actually a trick question. It's actually a trick question because it's a question that assumes that good and evil cannot coexist. It assumes, and it's always wrong to assume and to limit our knowledge to our knowledge, it assumes that good and evil cannot coexist, cannot be present at the same time. You know, our reality as you read the scriptures and the Bible and you understand it is that good and evil exists at exactly the same moment. They exist at the same time. Good and evil will actually always exist until Jesus comes back and makes everything right. Until everything is made right under the rulership and the authority of Jesus with a new heaven and a new earth, we will always have this good and evil that exists at the same time. So our goal is not to answer the why question. Our goal is to eliminate the if. I can't answer the why necessarily, but I can eliminate the if. And that's what I want to do for us, is eliminate the if part of this, to eliminate all doubt about the nature of God not being good. I believe, no matter what, that God is good. I believe no matter what, in terms of no matter what the circumstance might be, that God is good. We can't pretend that life isn't hard. But in the experience of a hard life, I will always believe that my God is good. He is a good God. Why is this important? Well, David tells us. Psalm 27:13. He says, I would have lost heart. I would have lost heart had I not believed that I would see the goodness of God in the land of the living. You know, unless you've got hope to anchor yourself in, and the hope for us is we're anchored in the goodness of God. Unless we have that, we drift, we doubt, we drift, and we dislocate. We doubt, we drift, and we dislocate ourselves from the presence of God. And many people have done the opposite of what David has done. They've lost sight of the goodness of God, and they've doubted, and they've drifted, and they've dislocated from what God had planned for them. It'll help you not lose heart in tough seasons. You know, I love tough people that come through tough moments and tough seasons and tough challenges, and they come out the other side, and they're so full of grace. They're so full of gratitude. They're so full of thankfulness for what God has done, that God kept them in that moment. Anyone come through a few of those seasons? Come on. Anyone come through that? Yeah, we have. We've come through those moments. I love people and seeing people come through that and to understand that it's not about the why, it's about eliminating the if, the question as to whether God is good or not. So it'll help you hold on. That's why it's important to answer it. It'll help you anchor your soul and engage your faith to believe for better. So we don't have to know the why to eliminate the if. We don't need the answer to the why to eliminate the if. There is no if to God's goodness. There is no if. It's a trick question. It's actually a wrong question. The wrong question to start with, if God is good. Because the fact is, God is good. God is good. There's no answer for the why for a lot of people. And so our goal should be to eliminate the if of what people are asking, rather than necessarily answering the why. When we eliminate the if, we anchor ourselves in our core belief, a core belief and conviction in the goodness of God no matter what. And I think our world and our church and the church in general needs to understand this in this season, in what's going on in our world, more than ever, that God is good no matter what. God is good no matter what. God is good no matter what. So I'm not calling into question the goodness of God. I understand life is hard, but God is good, and they do not cancel each other out. They do not contradict each other. When you get to that point, you can find peace in pain. You can find peace in pain because we believe that God is good no matter what. This is what David the psalmist did. And he unpacks it for us in the most famous psalm, Psalm 23:1, where he says, the Lord is my shepherd, I'll lack nothing. He's my shepherd. That intimate connection that Pastor Mara Schell referred to. He's not a shepherd, he's my shepherd. He's not a father, he's my father. There's a whole lot of difference when you make the personal pronoun. He's mine. My father, my shepherd, and I will lack nothing. He makes me to lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside quiet waters. He refreshes my soul. Anyone need their soul refreshed today? He refreshes my soul. He guides me along the right paths for his name's sake. And even though I walk through the darkest valley, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, the rod and the staff of the shepherd, they comfort me. And you prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies, and you anoint my head with oil, and my cup overflows. And verse 6, surely your goodness and your love will follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Your goodness will follow me all the days of my life. You know, the truth is, the path of God's goodness is not always found on the mountaintop experiences of life. It's often found in the valleys. It's found in the valleys of life. It's found in the low points of life. It's found in the challenges of life. And that's where, when we're in the valley, that's where we need to be absolutely convinced and have a core conviction of the goodness of God. I can praise God when I'm on the mountain, when everything's going right and life is good and everything's winning and working and it's wonderful. I can praise God easily then. But when I'm in the valley, When I'm in the valley, what's my mind doing? What's my mouth doing? What's my heart doing? What's my head doing in the valley? And David here locks onto the thought, he's my shepherd. He's my shepherd. My shepherd. My shepherd is watching over me. As I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. Now, friends, I don't want to trivialize the hardness of life, because I know life is hard. Real faith doesn't do that. Faith acknowledges the hardship. Faith acknowledges the struggle, the sickness, the disease, the grief, the sorrow, the sadness, whatever it might be. Real faith understands the challenges of everyday life. You know, David, in this psalm, for David, he talks about the mountaintop. He talks about the valley. He talks about, you know, there's gladness, there's sorrow in what he writes, and how we're surrounded by an enemy, and an enemy that comes to steal our joy and comes to steal our hope and our confidence and ultimately destroy our life. But he also talks about being led along the right paths and along peaceful waters and lying down in green pastures. David is talking about a literal place here. I want you to understand that. He's writing to a literal place, a literal world that he lived in. He's referring to this place as a dangerous place. It was a place between two cities that he traveled called Death Valley. It's a real place. It exists. It's a place where people were attacked and terrorized and beaten, robbed and even murdered. He doesn't just know that it's a dark valley. He recognizes that God is there in the valley with him when he's under threat. And he says this, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. I will fear no evil. I love the confidence. I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Church, I want you to know God is with you. I want you to know God is with you no matter what, no matter the enemy, no matter the circumstance or situation or the attack or the moment. God is with you. He's with you in that dark, challenging, conflicting valley of life. God is there ready to do good things. Why? Because who God is determines what God does. See, the reason my son could come to me and ask is because he knew that I'm his father. And he could ask, and his father would say yes. What a beautiful relationship that is for us to have with the Heavenly Father. Yeah. That we know he's good, and we know that he can't help himself. We know that he just can't help himself. He says, if you ask me, I'm going to answer you with what you've asked for. If you knock on the door, you're not going to be surprised with what you get. I don't like surprises. Anyone else in the room that doesn't like surprises? Like, I like it to be predictable. I want to open the door and I want to see what I want to see. I don't want to be shocked. Jesus says if we ask, if we seek, if we knock, we're going to find it. So God is good, therefore God only does good things. God is good because of who he is. That's what we need to understand. He's good because of who he is. Goodness is part of his essence. It's part of his being. And we've got to come to the realization that our circumstance does not determine the goodness of God. God is bigger than that. Yeah. If we only serve a God that's, if the God we serve is determined by our circumstance, we serve a very little God. That is not a God worth following. Our God is above and beyond any situation, any circumstance, any struggle or any trouble that we might find ourselves in. God is good and he's always doing good. Jesus reflected this when he was on earth. Acts 10:38 talks about how Jesus was anointed with the Holy Spirit and with power, and then he went around doing what?
Good.
Why? Because God is good. That's why. And so the reputation of Jesus was everywhere he went, he did good. What a beautiful reputation. Everywhere he went, he did good. That's because God's nature is good and he can't help but do good for you, to you, and through you. That's why the gospel is called good news. It's good news. The good news that will be preached throughout all the earth. That God is the giver of good gifts. Just a few verses to show you today what the Bible says about the goodness of God. David says in Psalm 25:8, the Lord is good and does what is right. Why? Because God is good. Psalm 119:68, you are good and you do only good. That's all you ever do. Mark 10:18, Jesus, in response to a man that had come to him and called him good teacher and used the word good that's only ever used of God. And so Jesus questioned him back and said, "Why do you call me good?" Jesus asked. "Only God is truly good." And then, of course, this one which is famous, it's not on the screen, Psalm 34:8, "Taste and see that the Lord is good. Taste and see that the Lord is good." So God is good. Life is hard. You know, life is full. Anyone here got a full life? Yeah. Anyone here got a complex life? Yeah. Anyone here got a complicated life? Yeah. It's full. It's complex. It's complicated. That's what life is. Jesus understood this, and he one day was talking to his disciples, and he said this, "I've told you this so that you may have peace in me. Here on earth you will have many trials and many sorrows, but take heart because I have overcome the world." What is Jesus saying here? He's saying God is good. Life is hard, but God is good. That's what he's saying. Life is hard, but God is good. Take heart in your sorrows. Take heart in your trials because I have overcome the world. Let me show you a little theological truth called theodicy. Theodicy. Theodicy is a study of how God's goodness exists alongside the pain, the injustice, and the hardships of life. Because the fact is, the fact that God is good does not cancel out the fact that life is hard. God can be good and life can be hard at the same time. They don't cancel out each other, these truths. Evil cannot cancel the goodness of God, no matter how dark it gets. The bombardment of evil in these days, in what some say are the last days, in these days, the bombardment of evil cannot cancel out the goodness of God. We live with these two contrasting thoughts, goodness and evil, on a daily basis. On a daily basis, they are front and center on our radar of our experience. And we need to hold the tension of the goodness of God and the evil and the brokenness of this world that we live in. We have good, we have evil, we have joy, we have suffering, we have peace, we have pain, we have worry, we have worship, we have life, we have death. We live with all these contradictions or dichotomies of thought and experience that go on. Don't let the dark side get you down. Always look on the bright side of life. Always look on the bright side of life. What good advice. Always look on the bright side. There's always going to be a dark side. It's always the dark side. There's a dark side and there's a bright side. And we need to determine which side our perspective is going to focus on. My conviction is this: even when I don't see it, God is good. Yeah. Even when I don't feel it, God is good. Even when I don't understand what's going on, God is good. Because God is good by nature. God is good by essence. My final thought today for this is the presence of problems does not mean the absence of God. The presence of problems does not mean the absence of God. And I think this is what King David teaches us so beautifully. Though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, you're with me. You're with me. Though I'm in this moment that is challenging and difficult and hard, you're with me. You know, what's most important is what reality you choose to live from. People who live from the life is hard perspective, and some people do that. Some people just love that life is hard thought. Some people live in that country and western mode all their life. They just do. They can't get it out of their thinking. They can't get it out of their conversation. And it's the song of their life. I don't want the song of my life to be country and western. Not that there's anything wrong with country and western music, but I just don't want that to be the music of my life. I want my music to have a little bit more bop to it. I really do. Any friends in the room? Come on, stand to your feet. Stand to your feet with me right now. Gotta choose where you're gonna stand. Gotta choose what you're gonna preach. You've got to choose what you're going to preach. See, I choose what I'm going to preach. I ask God what I should preach, but I choose what I'm going to preach. I could stand up here and preach the negativity of this and the negativity of that and the darkness of this and the darkness of that, but I choose to preach the goodness of God no matter how dark it is. I acknowledge the hardness, I acknowledge the darkness, but I'm going to flick the light on. I'm going to flick the light on. Because when you flick the light on, every cockroach goes running. Every feral thing that shouldn't be in the room scuttles out of the room when you flick the light on. When you flick the light on, you can be brave. It's easy to be brave when the lights are on. I'm much braver with the lights on. I don't like darkness. Anyone really like darkness? I mean, I don't naturally like darkness. I like to see my way. Thy word is a lamp unto my feet. It's a light unto my path. What's the word do? It shows me. It lights up my life. It lights up my world. It helps me to see what's going on. So I choose a reality that is not dark. A reality that is light. A message that is full of life. A message that is full of hope. A message that is full of the potential of what God will do. The good news is you get to choose where you anchor yourself and what you anchor yourself to. You can either anchor yourself to a system and to a thought and even a belief, as some people do from the Bible, about darkness. And you can anchor yourself to that and your life will be dominated by that. You will see what you anchor yourself from. That's the truth of life. Or you can anchor yourself in the life side, in the light side, in the bright side, in that side of life, in the goodness of God. And what you see is you see that everywhere. You see it everywhere. I'm going to talk about it in a few weeks' time, but it's like when you buy that new car. When you buy that new car, everyone's got that new car. Don't they? You never saw that car till you owned that car. And now it seems like everybody's got that car because you start to see it. It's your reticular activator system that God has designed in your brain that it thinks that you want to see that, so it presents that. It's like the algorithms that work on social media platforms that decide what you want to see. You wonder why it all comes up. Like, you go home and you open up your mobile phone and you start talking about building a shed in the backyard. All of a sudden, all the algorithms on your Facebook page, you go there, there's sheds everywhere. They're listening, I'm telling you, they're listening. Mark Zuckerberg or whatever his name is and all that mob in the meta world, they have designed the algorithms to present to you what they think you want because you've said it. And God designed it. Zuckerberg and his team stole it off God. They'll probably shut down the live screening of this service right now, so they'll mention this, but they've stolen it off God, Carl. They took it off God out of your brain. Your brain will start to present to you fear, if that's what you're looking for. If you're on this side, worry and anxiety. You'll have a lot of things to worry about, a lot of things to get anxious about, a lot of things to be upset about because it's dark. And if it's dark for you today, I want to flip the switch. I want to put the light on today and get you to the bright side, the light side, the right side of life where you see the hope, no matter how dark it is. See, light understands darkness is there. It's always there. It's like when you fly in a plane and you go overseas and you fly through different time zones. One minute it's bright and light and then it's dark as you're flying through it. Here's my thought. Just fly through it. Fly through the darkness, knowing the light's on the other side. Though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I'll fear no evil because light's on the other side. In my brokenness and pain and loss and sorrow, it's dark now, but I'm going to the bright side. So my mouth, my head, my heart, my soul is going to make sure that I live on the bright side of life. You can choose where you anchor yourself. You can either anchor yourself in the goodness of God or the hardness of life. And here's the thing. If you anchor yourself in the hardness of life, all of your friends will be anchored in the hardness of life. They will. Because people gather around commonness of posture. If you gather around the goodness of God, all of your friends are going to gather around the goodness of God with you. They're going to gather around that. Imagine being a part of a group, a team, a family, a church, where we understand, we promote, we proclaim, we preach, we present the life message of the goodness of God to help people get out of the hardness of life, the sadness of life, the difficulty and the challenge of life. You know, God's got so much to do for all of us, in us, through us, and for us in terms of good things. Even the silly things in life that have happened, Romans 8 says, God will turn all things out for good. All things out for good. There's a lot of good things God's doing right now that maybe you're not even aware of. I want to encourage you today to ask God, to seek Him, and to knock. Because He says, everyone that does will receive. I don't know what you're believing for today. I don't know whether you're believing for little things or big things. Whatever you're believing for, believe for good things. Believe for God to do good things. I pray that for you today. Because I know you need it. Because I know life is hard. I am tired of hearing that the interest rates are going up. Anyone else tired of that? Come on, I'm tired of that. Tired of hearing the interest rates are going up. Every time they get together. I know they're trying to balance the economy and doing all that. Give us some good news. Give everyone a pay rise. You get a pay rise. You get a pay rise. You give everyone a pay rise. Seriously, give us some good news. You want some good news today? God's a good God. He loves you. He wants to do good things for you. I want to pray for you today. Why don't you stay right in your seat where you are? I want you to lift up your hands today. You need God to do some good things. Come on. You need God to do some good things. You need God to do some big things today. You need God to lift you today. You need God to rescue you today. You need God to intervene today. You want to let heaven know that you're ready for that? Yeah. Ask today. Seek today. Find today. Father, I pray for my friends today, online, in the room today. Lord, we believe that you are a good God and you only do good things. You made an everlasting covenant with your people where you said, I will only ever do good things for them. And Lord, we are them, and we're praying for good things to be done around our world, around our personal life today, around our corporate life here as church. We pray for good things today. We believe it, we expect it, because you are a good God. There ain't no mountain high enough. There isn't. There's no river wide enough that can keep you from getting your good things to us today. And so no matter what the circumstance or situation today, we give you the praise, we give you the glory, we give you the honor today, because you are a good God doing good things in our hearts and lives today. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Come on, church, the praise is yours.
You're working, you never stop, you never stop working, you never stop. You
you very much, church, for being with us today. God bless you. Hospitality is open right now. Cafe open. Why don't you take some time? Spend some time with family and friends today. Thank you for all those online. God bless you. Thank you.